Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the debut episode of Inside the Jungle with Malik Wright and Evan Holt, live on blogtalkradio.com, produced by the Right Way Network. You can catch us every single Sunday, starting this Sunday, 5 p.m. live on Blog Talk Radio. And Evan, we got a lot to talk about, man. We got a lot to talk about, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do.
A lot to talk about. Yeah. A lot of Bengals news to talk about, but let me first, before we jump into any Bengals news, let me first start off by telling you guys can follow us on Instagram at the Right Way Network. You can follow us on Facebook at the Right Way Network. You can follow us on Twitter at the Right Way Net, and you can shoot me out an email if you have any questions at MalikWright@therightway.com. I'm super, super excited to be starting this journey with you, Evan. I got our website launching February 24th, but with that being said, let's get straight into it. The first topic I want to talk to you guys about, which is a topic that's pretty much on a lot of Bengals fans' minds, which is the re-signing of Marvin Lewis as the head coach. Now, I know that happened about 2 weeks ago, and we've had a chance to digest it all and pretty much give our takes. But this is our chance pretty much to talk about it. I mean, you know, we really haven't had an opportunity to really chat it up and see exactly where each other's mindsets are as far as the re-signing of Marvin Lewis as the head coach. So, you know what, Evan, I'll let you shoot first. What was your first impression when you first heard the news that Marvin Lewis was being brought back as the Cincinnati Bengals head coach for a 16th season?
Man, I'll tell you, I think I speak for a lot of Bengals fans when I say that we were all surprised. I thought that at the end of this season, like everybody else, all the other Bengals fans around the world, we thought that it was going to be somebody different going into the 2018-2019 season. I can't say that I've been all the way disappointed with Marvin Lewis because he did do us some justice throughout the years and getting us to the playoffs. Of course, we don't have no playoff wins, no playoff victories, and we struggled. But we've gotten there. So he is capable of getting it done. I just think in the last couple of years it's been very disappointing and underachieving. So I know I speak for a lot of Bengals fans when I say that, you know, we were definitely surprised in seeing Marvin Lewis come back. But, you know, knowing that he's good friends with the owner, Mike Brown, you kind of had to leave room for that possibility to happen. I think it's good that we did make some other offseason acquisitions and bringing in some other guys, you know, like Terrell Lawson from the Detroit Lions as defensive coordinator. So hopefully he can come through and spark our defense much different than Ball did. And then you got, you know, our new offensive line coach coming from the Dallas Cowboys. And we know the Dallas Cowboys had such great, had prosperous seasons through running the football. So hopefully he could come through and really, you know, spark our offensive line as such and maybe get Cedric, you know, O'Brady, right, hopefully, and definitely fill some holes. Definitely
all right,
fill some
okay.
holes in that. Yeah, and that's really how I feel. And, you know, we're getting a quarterback coach from the Packers. So if we could just get right in all the other areas, and I feel like that we are, I'm going to give Marvin Lewis – I have no choice but to give Marvin Lewis another chance this season.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I don't know if you remember 2 years ago when we went to go see the Bengals play the Giants up at MetLife on November 14th, 2016, I think it was. Or was it 17? 16,
yes.
2016, we went there. And I'm not going to say no names, but we spoke to some players on the Bengals, told
yep.
us that, you know, the coach had lost the locker room. And a lot of players were very upset. And a lot of players
correct.
Don't have the relationship. That you want to have a good relationship with your coach. You know, you want your players to be coachable as a coach. You want to have a good relationship with the coach. You want your players to play for you. They want to play for you. Now, football is a sport where you have to – it's very hard to play when you have nothing to play for. Football is very hard to do that. And
correct.
A lot
correct.
Of the guys – One to be exact, was explaining his frustrations and saying that, you know, this guy doesn't have the locker room, and I don't know if anybody really wants to play for him. They don't listen to him. They don't want to play for him, and it's hard. When you look at coaches like, you know, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, and I hate to say it because, you know, obviously I hate the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Browns. I don't like any of them. But I have to give justice where – I think credit where credit is due. And the players of the Steelers, they brought into the Mike Tomlin system, and they want to play for him. And we have those type of guys. We have those type of dogs on defense, on our offense. We have talent all around, you know, and we need to utilize that. I just feel like the coaching staff wasn't there to coach this year. I just feel like they were there to be there. They were there to be on the sidelines. And we need coaches that want to coach and want to win. You know what I'm saying? It's not about just
correct.
Being a team now. It's about, especially as a fan, you're frustrated. You watch your team struggle for so many years or even get close to making it to the football promised land of the Super Bowl. And even if you get an opportunity to make it to the playoffs, you have an opportunity to compete. You're one of the top six teams in your conference. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
Full of, you know, 16 teams in the conference or whatever. And then, you know, get in there and you fall short. And you know, I love Andy Dalton. I love Andy Dalton. I love our quarterback. A lot of people are frustrated with him as well. But I think he's good. He's a talented enough quarterback to get us where we need to get to. You look at Blake Bortles this year. He pushed the Jaguars, and I'm saying he threw for an amazing amount of numbers. Or he just, you know, wowed everybody. I'll see the Jaguars defense is, you know, top tier. So we can say that the Jaguars defense helped Blake Bortles out a lot. But Blake Bortles also did enough, well, and they also have a good running game with Leonard Fournette and, you know, Chris Ivory and Yeldon coming out of the backfield or whatever. But, you know, he still did what he needed to do, enough of what he needed to do to get the Jaguars to the AFC Championship. And you're not going to sit there and tell me that Andy Dalton can't do it.
Let me jump in real quick. Let me just jump in real quick. First and foremost,
uh-huh.
guys, I want to let you guys know you can reach out to us and give us a call and jump in on the conversation at any point by calling the phone number of 914-338-1397. Once again, that's 914-338-1397. Jump on in, join the conversation. I'll buzz you through. We can talk Bengals talk. But now I want to give my take, you know, because we're going to talk about multiple things during this podcast, but I want to give my take on the Bengals making the decision that shocked that shocked everybody across the NFL. You know, myself included, I was very, very disappointed when I heard the news that Marvin Lewis is being brought back as the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. And it goes to back to what Stephen A. Smith was saying over on First Take on ESPN. He said, I'm not saying Marvin Lewis doesn't deserve to be a head coach. He said, I'm not even saying Marvin Lewis, is a bad coach. What I'm saying is Marvin Lewis does not deserve to be the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, Stephen A. Smith, I shared the same sentiment you did. I, along with so many other Bengals fans, was highly disappointed. But then I let the news digest. I looked at the factors, and I said, first and foremost, everybody wanted Marvin Lewis out as the Cincinnati Bengals head coach, myself being included in that. But when you look across the board and you say, all right, if the Bengals let go of Marvin Lewis as the head football coach, who do we hire? We faced a situation the last couple of seasons where we let guys like Mike Zimmer walk out the door. We let guys like Jay Gruden walk out the door. We let guys like Hugh Jackson walk out the door, even though he's not having too hot of a coaching career over in Cleveland. But my point is, we let people that were primed for a head coaching spot, particularly with the Cincinnati Bengals, walk out the door. When I looked at the Cincinnati Bengals coaching staff, in my opinion, there was nobody on the current Cincinnati Bengals staff that could have taken the spot of head coach. I don't want to hear when people say, oh, Paul Gunther could have not been the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. Then you got people who say that they want, let's do Josh McDaniels, let's do this guy, let's do that. Listen, when you look at it, when we talk about proven track record, let's call it for what it is. Mike Brown was never going to hire somebody who he wasn't comfortable with. It was always going to be a situation where he wanted to hire somebody in which he – who he was comfortable with, who he knew. Now, I found through my inside sources that this is basically what took place for the Cincinnati Bengals. What happened was Mike Brown was about to part ways and willing to part ways with Marvin Lewis as the head football coach, not because Marvin Lewis was a bad coach. It was simply because Mike Brown did not want to give power, total power, over to Marvin Lewis. It was because Mike Brown just didn't want to change. He wanted to be stuck in his ways. And from what I hear, the agreement that him and Marvin Lewis had was Marvin Lewis had said to Mike Brown, he said, Mike, you know, if I'm going to come back and coach your football team, some changes have to be made. First and foremost, you know, some certain members of the staff have to change. We have to be more aggressive in free agency. We cannot act as the same old Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Brown was not a fan of that. Mike Brown was about to part ways with Marvin Lewis, and he was about to make the hire of Hugh Jackson or Jay Gruden. He was hoping that one of these guys were relieved of their duties. When that did not come to fruition, Mike Brown then approached Marvin Lewis again with another opportunity to come back as the Cincinnati Bengals head coach. It was never a situation in which Mike Brown was about to part ways with Marvin Lewis because of his coaching record in the playoffs. It had everything to do with Marvin Lewis wanting change, and Mike Brown did not want to change, essentially. So when he never wasn't did. Able to change, when those coaches weren't able to, when those coaches didn't get relieved of those contracts, and Marvin Lewis was brought back, it was very, very clear to me, not only as a Bengals fan, not only as a sports broadcaster, but just being a person with common sense, that Mike Brown ceded some of that power over to Marvin Lewis. And I think we're going to experience a lot of change over in Cincinnati. Now, I know a lot of people aren't too happy with the hire of Marvin Lewis, but let me explain something to you Bengals fans who are listening. And if you are listening, we greatly appreciate you for joining us. But let me say this. Hiring Marvin Lewis back as the Cincinnati Bengals head coach was the best move Mike Brown could have made because of what came with it. We got the, I do believe Marvin Lewis will act more as a, will be more of a GM, in a GM role. I don't mean he'll necessarily have more power than Duke Tobin as far as the roster goes, but I will certainly say he will have more say you will have more say in certain situations as far as roster, as far as personnel. And, I'm a show me kind of guy. I don't know about you, Evan, but I'm a show me kind of guy. And the first move that I saw Marvin Lewis make that made me so excited was when he made the move to move on from Paul Alexander, a guy who's been there longer than Marvin Lewis. He was there for 24 years as the Bengals offensive line coach. Now, I'm not discrediting what Paul Alexander has done for the Cincinnati Bengals in the in his 24-year span, because obviously to last somewhere for 24 years, you had to do something right. All years were not bad under Paul Alexander, guys. Let's eliminate that from our minds. All years were not bad under Paul Alexander, but when you are unable to help rookies like Cedric Ogbuehi, like Jake Fisher, you are not able to help them develop into the players that we need to be. Cedric Ogbuehi was a first round draft pick. Jake Fisher was a second round draft pick. And might I add, when the Bengals drafted them, I was not happy with those. I was not happy with those picks. But part of being a coach is helping. You got to develop your guys. And if your guys aren't developing, you're not doing your job as a head coach. So to see Paul Alexander walk out the door, and I believe now he's in Dallas, I'm extremely excited. I am extremely excited to see that happen. I was extremely excited to see Mike Brown bring back Marvin Lewis and have Marvin Lewis then not bring back Paul Alexander. I think it was a great situation for the Cincinnati Bengals, and I think it was probably the best thing for the Cincinnati Bengals in the long run.
Well, yeah, and not to cut you off, but change is good. You know, it probably was the best move to be made. I mean, you look at Zampezi leaving week three and having Bill Lazor come in, which was, he came in. He had a tough first game versus, obviously, on the road versus the Green Bay Packers. But he really came out, and he was very aggressive in the play call. And you have to be aggressive against a high-powered offense going against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. But you also mentioned, guys leaving and walking away. And, yes, that has been a big flaw over the last couple of years. And we've seen it with it when we had the 2015 Bengals team. The roster was A1, right? You got to help everybody. Tyler Eifert, AJ Green, Andy Dolan, Marvin Sanu, Marvin Jones, all on the offensive side. Obviously with, Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy Hill playing good football as well. Then you go to the defensive side and you let, guys like Andrew Whitworth walk away, a top left tackle over the past decade or so in the National Football League. Guys like Kevin Zeitler, good guard, they let him walk away. And then you see the issues in the holes within the offensive line. When you let one or two guys walk, these are guys that you have to pay. If you want to win, you have to pay these guys. You have to keep these guys. And if you're not going to keep them, at least go out in free agency and be aggressive and sign somebody that can help us. Because right now we can see that within the last 2 years, it's questionable whether or not we were playing to win these last couple of years. We had the fastest, arguably the fastest human being on earth in John Ross, right? The guy runs a 4.2 at the combine out of the Washington. Step speed, pure speed. This pure speed can open up the field for anybody. Could you imagine if we had seen him implemented in the playbook a lot more, being opposite of A.J. Green, just stretching the field. Now all the focus obviously is on A.J. Green, right? He's getting double-teamed every time. You can't even get the ball to him. You got one of the best receivers in the entire world, and yet you look at guys like Julio Jones who just get the ball. They feed him all the time. He's coming away with 200 yards a game, 150 yards a game, and we got to worry about A.J. Green only getting 60 yards a game, 70 yards a game. And he's much more a productive player than that. You know what I'm saying? And then you look at guys like Antonio Brown, who's just leading the league in receptions, leading the league in yards. And I want this for A.J. Green. I want this for A.J. Green very bad. But he's going to need help, and we're going to need somebody like John Ross. So John Ross saw the field week two on a short week against the Texans, right? He fumbled the ball on the end of round, right? Fumbled the ball and doesn't see the field until, I don't know, when we play the Titans, right? They try to throw the deep ball to him. They claim that
he gave up on the route and he didn't want to track the ball down. Marvin Lewis benches him for the remainder of the game. I don't think we see John Ross at all after that. He's been a healthy scratch for the majority of the season. They're going to say that he's injured or we don't want to play, we don't want to hurt him and stuff like that. But if John Ross could have played this season, let's call it like it is. There were times where he could have played this season. And it would have changed the game. It would have changed the outcome of the season, most likely, I'm going to say. One or two players can make a big difference in a game. And he's one of those game-changing type of players. This guy is extremely fast. A go route right down the sideline, whatever, whether it's man-to-man, whatever. You can run him underneath. You can run him deep. It doesn't matter what it is. He stretches the field. He becomes a viable option on offense. You can never overthrow a guy like John Ross. And it's unfortunate. Moving forward, we have some promising years to come.
I agree 100% with you. Now, to switch gears a little bit here, once again, guys, feel free to give us a call and give us your take on the Cincinnati Bengals. You can call in at 914-338-1397. That's 914-338-1397. Call in, join the conversation. Let us hear your frustration. We'll be glad to talk Bengals talk with you. But to switch gears here, Evan, I want to make this a two-part question.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Paul Gunther leaving. First, what do you think the impact of Paul Gunther leaving the Cincinnati Bengals will have, and what do you make of the hiring of Terrell Austin? I know you touched on it a little bit before, but what is your take on that?
Well, Paul Gunther, I was a little fed up with too as well. I felt like we had a great defensive unit. Good defensive line and Geno Atkins and Michael Johnson. Carl Lawson had a fantastic year this year. Our linebackers, with what we're running, this whole cover two thing, man, we're getting burned. Just all over, we're getting burned. Our linebackers, obviously, when Vontaze Burfict went down, Nick Vigil goes down, we don't have linebackers that can cover. They're running, they're throwing the ball right over our linebackers, and they're running these shallow crosses right through them, and guys are getting burned. So the cover two whole thing isn't going to work. I'm hoping that Terrell Austin could come in and kind of mix it up a little bit. Obviously, we need to be – we got – so much talent on the defensive side of the ball, man. I think that, you know, we have the capability and the players to do a lot. So I'm hoping that he could come through. And I've heard that the Lions had a decent defense last year, if I'm not mistaken. And hopefully he could bring some of that flavor over to us. But like I said, it was time for change. I'm not saying that the players didn't like Paul Gunther or whatever, but I just think that Terrell Austin's going to come in. He's going to give it. He's going to be a no-nonsense type, and he's going to want to come in and make a name for himself. So I'm definitely here for that defensive coordinator change. You know, Paul Gunther, if I'm not mistaken, is going to Oakland to be with, you know, Gruden, to be with John Gruden. So I can't say I feel sorry for him, because you get fired and you get hired. You know what I'm saying? So, and the good thing about it this year, is that we play them. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting to see how those guys get up and react and respond to that.
I agree. Now, let me say this. I was really never a fan of Paul Gunther. Appreciate him. Think he's a good coach, not a spectacular coach. Very predictable. Our defense became very predictable under Paul Gunther. And I don't know, guys, but I saw a noticeable decline in our defense under Paul Gunther from when we had Mike Zimmer as our defensive coordinator. We did not have the same ability. I'm not just talking about, just turning the ball over. I'm talking about scoring, making, you know, defensive plays to score. I'm talking about a lot of third down stops. And one thing that I saw a lot under Paul Gunther was, Paul Gunther tried to implement the same Mike Zimmer, or not really implement because it was already there, but he tried to continue with the same scheme of Mike Zimmer without adding in a lot of the, how do I say, the, a lot of the, you know, the, what do you call it? It's on the tip of my tongue. Like, basically, our defense was very extremely predictable. There was really no disguising.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking for. There was really no disguising. You know, it bothered me. It bothered me to no end to see Le'Veon Bell. I mean, the Bengals cornerbacks, he did a good job covering the Steelers wide receivers, but then you have Le'Veon Bell, you know, emptying out into the flat. Ben Roethlisberger dumping it off him, and guys just consistently not able to make tackles. I don't know how many games under Paul Gunther as the defensive coordinator I saw running backs rush for 100 yards against us. We just were not the team that we once were, and it's crazy because we got the same players. So you can't really say, oh, it's the players, you know, dropping off. You know, I could even make an argument. Carl Lawson in the beginning of the season, as we all could agree, Carl Lawson had a very, very good season, you know, for his rookie year. But I'm not sure if you noticed this, Evan, but towards the end of the season, Carl Lawson went missing a couple times. Carl Lawson wasn't having the same impact that he was having in the beginning of the season. Now, we could say that because of scheme change. We could say that because of whatever. But the fact of the matter is, you got to play guys. You got to put guys on the field that are obviously going to put us in the best position to win. I mean, it bothered me that it took the Bengals this long. You know, we know we missed an entire year last season, but it bothered me it took the Bengals this long to get him on the field. I mean, even the guy brought a pick six back to the house against Aaron Rodgers, who's only thrown that was only his second pick six he threw in his entire career. And even still, then he was still getting on the field in spurts. It's like,
I'm with you on that. 100% with you on that. I think that the Bengals were so sold on Adam Pac-Man Jones being the guy that's been around, being you know, this is one of those situations where reputation outdoes performance. You've been here for a while. Your reputation, you're a good player. You're a good guy. The guys love you around. You motivate the guys. You encourage the guys. So we're going to start you. When initially, William Jackson should have been starting at the top of the year. I mean, the dude is a shutdown corner. He has crazy recovery speed. There's been a couple of possessions where he's gotten burned by Antonio Brown, T.Y. Hilton, and he's been able to recover
Evan.
And get back to the possession. Yeah.
Evan, we have a caller calling in. I don't mean to stop you, but I wanna get right to them. Thank you calling in to Inside the Jungle with Malik Wright and Evan Holt. Who I have the pleasure of speaking with?
This is Joe.
How are you? How's it going, Joe?
Yes, from Clifton, New Jersey. Is this the right way?
No,
this is
the right way. This is Inside the Jungle with on the Right Way Network.
Yeah, the Right Way Network. How's everything, sir?
It's going good. It's going good.
Yeah, I was just wondering your thoughts on the upcoming Super Bowl and everything that's going on.
Okay. I mean,
this is just my
Bowl,
first time calling in.
Oh, no worries, and we appreciate your calling in. You're from Clifton, New Jersey, you said?
Yes, sir.
My take is I believe the Patriots are gonna beat the Philadelphia Eagles. That's just my take. I feel like I can't go against Tom Brady. Seeing what he did, you know, last year against the Falcons. I do think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to come out very strong against the New England Patriots in the first half. And I do believe that the Patriots will do what they always do, make those halftime adjustments, and I think they will be victorious. And I think Tom Brady will get his sixth Super Bowl rank. Evan,
okay. And how about your buddy? Yeah.
You said what?
Would you like to add to that, the Super Bowl? He said, who do you have?
Who do you think is going to win?
What is your take on the Super Bowl? Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Patriots. I'm really not a big fan of the Patriots. And my friend is an Eagles fan, and I don't really want the Eagles to win. So I'm just going to say that I'm really just rooting for a good matchup. I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback, and I think he might have enough to get it done. I do wish that Carson Wentz was going to be a part of this one. But I think that if the Eagles defense obviously could come out and mix it up against Tom Brady and be hungry like the Jacksonville Jaguars were in terms of rushing the quarterback, I think they might have a legitimate shot. If Nick Foles can make some good decisions moving the ball
down
the
field. We're not talking about Jacksonville. We're talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. And I'm saying that I think that if the Eagles defense can be aggressive like Jacksonville was, then I think that they may have a chance. If their guys on the line could get to Tom Brady, putting pressure on Tom Brady, and hopefully make him make bad decisions, and their corners can do what they need to do on the outside, then I think that they may have a chance. I think that Nick Foles has enough to get it done with the help of his defense and possibly his offense. I think the Eagles have decent receivers, enough to do numbers against the Patriots defense as well. And I think their running game is pretty good with Joseph Ajayi. He's running the football very well. So I think that if the Eagles can do those things, and I think that they might have a chance, to be honest with you. I'm not a fan of the matchup, but I do think that they could have a chance. So I'm excited to see what happens. What about yourself?
Yeah, I just want to know, like, how do you think the Cleveland Browns are going to be next year?
I'll answer this, Evan. I think the Cleveland Browns are going to be very, very good next year. I think that the hiring of Todd Haley was a great hire.
Exactly.
As offensive coordinator, I do believe the Cleveland Browns are going to be very, very good next year. And to be honest with you, they scare me more than the Pittsburgh Steelers do or any other team in our division next year, because the thing about the Browns is it's not that they don't have the talent. The talent is definitely there. It's just about putting it all together. I think this is the year they're going to get their quarterback in the draft, possibly Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold from USC. I do believe that this is going to be the year for the Cleveland Browns to put it all together. They have great executives in the office, in the front office. And like I said, I believe they're going to be very, very well. But anyway, we lost our caller, so then we'll keep going on Cincinnati Bengals. Joe, thank you for calling in from Clifton, New Jersey. But let's keep it going with back to Bengals talk, Evan. We were just talking about the hiring of Tara Austin. But if you want to switch gears a little bit, let's talk about re-signing and free agency. But let's start with the re-signing portion. For the Cincinnati Bengals, who do you think they should re-sign, and who do you think they should let walk?
That's a tough one. I hear a lot of talk about bringing Tyler Eifert back, and I don't know if Tyler Eifert really wants to come back. Obviously it's his year. If we're going to bring him back, it would be I think it would obviously be an asset. I think Tyler Kroft had a good year in his replacement, though. I don't think that the Bengals will bring Tyler Eifert back. It's going to be sad to see him go, because I felt like he didn't give us big because of injury. Able to see his full potential, even though he did have a great year in 2015, which is obviously one of our best years as Bengals. And I just feel like these last 2 years, man, I think after the 2000, everybody was so hyped, like, yo, we're going to have, you know, Tyler Eifert, he's another weapon, you know, alongside, obviously, you know, A.J. Green, and, you know, hopefully, you know, everything will work out as good, and we just haven't been able to get that. And it's unfortunate, because that's great. It's, you know, injuries and losing one player could do a lot of harm. I've been one of those guys in the tight end spot. You said what?
I said I agree. I agree 100%. Now, I think pretty much what's going to happen is I think the Bengals are going to re-sign Tyler Eifert. I think they're going to re-sign him to a team-friendly deal. I expect it to be huge incentives involved. Obviously, it's going to revolve around him being able to stay healthy and on the field. And I don't think any other team is going to offer Tyler Eifert the type of contract the Bengals are going to offer him. The fact of the matter is Tyler Eifert is way more valuable on the field than he is off the field. So with that being said, I fully expect the Bengals to bring him back. And honestly speaking, if he can stay healthy, I'm all for it. But I just want to switch gears here really, really, really quickly. The AFC just beat the NFC in the Pro Bowl. So we had a couple Bengal players playing in the Pro Bowl. So Geno Atkins and Clark Harris, who just broke the the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest snap. So the AFC takes it home against the NFC. I just wanted to point that out. But back to what I was saying. I think guys like Jeremy Hill are out the door. I've been saying Jeremy Hill is going to be out the door. I could see him going to a team like the New York Football Giants. I think who the Bengals are going to, you know, pretty much focus in on signing is Russell Bodine, Tyler Eifert, in possibly Andre Smith if he can be brought back on a team-friendly deal. Just good to have that veteran presence. And I think those are the guys that the Bengals are going to bring back in. Anything else you want to add to that?
You know, Andre Smith, I'm a fan of Andre Smith. When he left to go to the Vikings, I thought that was our last time seeing him. And then he ended up coming right back. And like you said, I think if we're gonna keep somebody, let somebody already, you know, if we're gonna keep somebody, especially in his situation, obviously, if he's somebody that knows the system, he has good chemistry, he knows the players, and he has good relationship with the players. He hasn't been able to play at his max potential, but it's something that he could get that together though. Now, I'm a believer in that. To be honest, Jeremy Hill, I know that it's definitely time for Jeremy Hill to go. The way Joe Mixon has came on and ran, we already got our power. We got power in speed. We got talent in Joe Mixon. And Giovanni Bernard, he's just a great switch-up running back. And the people love Gio. So I think that we're good with those two running backs right there. And then our other guy, Troy Hill, I believe, right? Third-string running back.
Oh, you mean you're talking about Brian Hill.
Brian Hill. He showed some great promise in a little bit of garbage time that he's gotten this year, too. I actually like the way he runs the ball. So I just think that we're good in terms of running back. We're letting Hill walk. Obviously, you know, he had a good year with us in the past. He had some good games with us in the past, but it's probably best that he moves on. And we could have traded. We could have traded him this year before the deadline and could have got something out of that. Or same thing with AJ McCarron. It's another person we could have traded and got, you know, good value for. And we wouldn't have to worry about signing somebody in the offseason or whatever. But these are the deals. This is the business that the Bengals struggling with. You know, these are things that could have been done, that probably should have been done, but just didn't happen. So now we put ourselves under more pressure in order to, you know, mm-hmm. do certain things. So I'm hoping for a good draft. I'm hoping for a good offseason. I'm hoping for a healthy preseason. I want everybody to come into week one healthy. You know, I don't want
Correct.
Any issue. I don't want any. That's important. You know what I'm saying? The best ability is availability. We want all
now,
to be available.
Now, I will say this. As far as free agency is concerned, there are two names that I expect Bengals fans to focus in on. And I fully expect the Bengals to, you know, I believe there's going to be a huge possibility of the Bengals bringing them in. The first name, I'm going with Nate Solder from New England, left tackle. Look out for that
uh-huh.
name. That's a name that could possibly be there. He's proven to be consistent over New England. I think he'd definitely be an upgrade to what we currently have. And Bengals fans, stop me if you heard this name before, because I fully expect the Bengals to bring this guy back. Reggie Nelson, who is going
Sounds
to be
good.
A free agent. Reggie
he's
Nelson.
He's a dog.
Yes. I fully expect the Bengals to bring back Reggie Nelson. He is going to be a free agent this year. His contract is up with the Oakland Raiders. He's a guy that I thought the Bengals should have never let walk out the door. And to be quite honest with you, I just think that I think he was a very good safety for us. And you talk about Pittsburgh Steelers. You talk about a guy who Ben Roethlisberger would hate to see again. I mean, Reggie Nelson,
mm-hmm.
I believe Reggie Nelson has, like, what, something like 8 interceptions against Big Ben along those lines?
Yes.
I mean,
league leader in interceptions this last year with us. Tied for league leader
yeah.
interceptions.
Absolutely. I mean, the guy was just, he played lights out. He was a guy that I was highly upset when we let walk out the door because he was another one of those guys who, I believe, because of him, we were on the cusp of something special. Another guy that I got upset with that we let walk out the door, and I don't know if I've really fully gotten over it, was Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones, to me, letting him walk out the door, to me, was just like, it was mind-boggling. I know we made an offer to him, and then, you know, to me that year, as far as if it was Katie Blackburn or Mike Brown or Duke Tobin, whomever was in charge of getting the players to re-sign, to me, you know, they've done a fantastic job over the years, but that year in particular, they completely whiffed on it. I mean, they made all the wrong decisions. You picked Pac-Man Jones over Reggie Nelson. you picked you signed Sean Williams to a big contract who's proven he can't stay healthy, can't stay on the field healthy. Good player when he is on the field. He's very hard hitting, but once again, can't stay healthy. He gets lost in coverage at times. George Iluka was a good re-signing. I was very happy with that re-signing. But letting Marvin Jones walk out the door if you bring Mohamed Sanu back, but letting Mohamed Sanu and Marvin Jones both walk out the door, to me that made no sense. And, you know, it's something that's still mind-boggling to me. You know, Mike Brown didn't want to pay Andrew Whitworth last offseason because of his age, 35 years old, still playing lights out. Mm-hmm. He played in the Pro Bowl this year. Once again, that was another move that was not a smart move, I'd say. We let Kevin Zeitler walk out the door, as you had mentioned earlier, who was playing lights out, 25, 26 years old, still in the prime of his career. So it's just like the Bengals need to reevaluate their core players, see who are guys that are going to help them get over the hump, and go from there, honestly speaking. We'll see what John Ross turns into. I believe John Ross has the game-changing ability in the NFL, but John Ross has to also make the commitment to become a better football player for the Cincinnati Bengals. A guy that takes pressure off of A.J. Green. I'll tell you what, Evan. I was not a huge fan when the Bengals first brought Brandon LaFell on, but one can make the argument. These past two seasons, he's been our most consistent receiver.
Yeah, I mean he's done what you want to do for a wide receiver number two. I mean, but also Mohamed Sanu was that too, and he did what he needed to do, and we let him walk too. Mohamed Sanu is one of the best wide receiver option twos in the National Football League. He went from being next to AJ Green to being next to Julio Jones, and he's Marvin Jones. Yes, had the opportunity to take the money that the Cincinnati Bengals offered him, but he decided to go to the Detroit Lions and be a number one option wide receiver for Matthew Stafford, and has had a great two seasons with the Lions. So I can't even be mad. He's going from being somewhat of the man to the man. He wasn't the man in Cincinnati, but he went from being second fiddle to A.J. Green to the man in Detroit. As soon as Calvin Johnson left, it was an open void for whoever wanted to be the wide receiver guy in Detroit. And they got Golden Tate too, but I'm picking Marvin Jones over Golden Tate. I mean, Marvin Jones is balling out. And I'm happy for him, but it hurts to see that that's what we could have had if we just had
it especially hurts knowing that the Bengals matched the Detroit Lions contract offer. They matched that offer, and that hurts. That hurts. What it was something around $10 million a year, or something like around those along those lines. That same offer that they could have given Marvin Jones is the same exact offer that they gave Drake Kirkpatrick, $10 million a year. You know what I'm saying? It just goes down. And don't get me wrong, I love Drake Kirkpatrick. You know, you and I met Drake, and we had terrific conversations with him. And Dre's a stand-up guy. End of the day, as much as I love Dre Kirkpatrick as an individual, I love him as a player. I'm an Alabama Crimson Tide fan, and I watched him when he was over at the University of Alabama. Roll Tide, by the way. Dre Kirkpatrick isn't worth $10 million a year, in my opinion. That's top-tier, you know, cornerback money in the NFL. But I'm just saying, that kind of money, you got to know what guys to fork that money over with and what guys not to. But the fact that you re-signed Dre Kirkpatrick and you let Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler walk, if I was the general manager of the Cincinnati Bengals or team president or whomever was in charge of making that crucial decision, I would have really looked at my roster and I would have thought the number one guy to bring back out of all those guys who were free agents last year, in my opinion, it would have had to have been Kevin Zeitler. Let me tell you why. I think it had to go in this order. It should have been Kevin Zeitler, Andrew Whitworth, Drake Kirkpatrick. You had to bring back Zeitler because not only was he a standout player, he's his age. So he's on the offensive line. It's his age. If at the very least it shores up your guard position where you have Clint Boylan and Zeitler both playing the right and left guard. Then if you're going to make another decision, bring back Andrew Whitworth. At the very worst case scenario, Drake Patrick walks, and we have a guy in the likes of William Jackson and Darquez Denard starting on the outside with Patton and Jones in the slot, or vice versa, Darquez in the slot, Patton and William Jackson on the outside, if it was that crucial. Or if, as a player, as an owner, if I'm going to make that tough decision, I trade Pac-Man Jones or I cut him, and I re-sign those core guys who are going to help us get over the top. That's no knock on Pac-Man Jones. I love him. I love him as a player. If you ask me who I'd rather have, Drake or Patrick or Adam Jones, I'm picking Drake or Patrick. I'm picking Drake or Patrick, William Jackson, and Darquez Denard, because that tandem is young and they have the ability to have untapped potential. And, you know, it's like I just said, I feel like if it was just – it goes a little bit more just on the field. I feel like if there was a little bit more of coaching changes roster moves as far as signing players and maybe letting this guy kind of walk, I think that we would still be well on our way to, you know, continually, making the playoffs consistently on an annual basis. I think that letting a couple of those key guys walk kind of hurt us. Now, like I said, it'll be curious. I'll be very, very curious. Now, Evan, I got to ask you this because we're running out of time here, but I got to ask you this. Who would you like to see the Cincinnati Bengals draft, or what position would you like to see the Cincinnati Bengals draft, if there's one that comes to mind?
I'm gonna go with O-line on this one right now. It's not the sexy pick. It's not the pick that you want. You know, you kind of want to go we do draft a lot of DBs recently in the past, but maybe offensive line, or depending on if we keep A.J. McCarron, which we probably won't, then definitely quarterback. I'm going offensive line, quarterback, linebacker. Vontaze Burfict, top tier linebacker. I like Nick Vigil, and I just think that we need another linebacker in there. Jordan Willis, Jordan Evans.
Evans.
Which one is it?
Evans.
Jordan Evans has some upside. I think that he'll be all right in years to come. Vinny Ray, I just think that he struggles. I just think he's not a good backup. You know, I think he's a good guy. I think he's a stand-up guy, another guy, respectable gentleman, good locker room guy. But I've seen him miss a lot of tackles too. I've seen guys run right by him. You know, if he's not directly in position to make a play, he's getting torched. A lot of these guys, and I see it, and there's other corners on the team too. Drake Patrick is one of them. These guys struggle with tackling. I don't see anybody wrapping up out there. I see very few players wrapping up out there. And proper tackling is very key when you're going against these physical running backs, these big running backs, talented running backs, or even receivers. You got to wrap up on these guys. Shoulder tackling isn't going to work. And I see a lot of that. I watch the film. I see it. And it's frustrating because we're play, but we don't. And I just see that with a couple of these guys. But if you go back to your question, yeah, I'm going to go offensive line. I'm definitely thinking quarterback, just to prepare for the future and be okay for the future.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear me?
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I think the Bengals can get offensive line, but I also think the offensive line could be serviceable if you target some good offensive linemen in free agency. Personally, I just don't. The Bengals' track record in drafting offensive linemen as of recent hasn't been very good. So if I'm being completely honest about what I want the Bengals, yes, I hear you. If I'm being completely honest of who I want the Bengals to go after, I want the Bengals to go after Raekwon Smith from Georgia, linebacker from Georgia, middle linebacker. I think you pair him along with Vontaze Burfict. I think we're right in a good position. The same, I'm literally echoing the same stuff that I echoed last year on my other podcast. I literally said the Bengals should have drafted Reuben Foster. You know, and that's just how I felt.
I'm liking that pick right now. I mean, from a defensive standpoint, but I also understand the need for a guy like John Ross. You don't pass up on speed like that. It kills. You can't teach that. You can't coach that.
Agreed.
You know what I'm
saying? But it also has to be a health threat. I mean, you gotta be able to stay healthy.
Without a doubt.
You know, so, I mean, when I just look at across the board, I would like to see the Bengals draft Raekwon Smith from Georgia, linebacker. I think that him and Vontaze Burfict together have Jordan Evans over there on the other side. I think that will give us a very, very good linebacking core. You have Nick Vigil, Vinny Ray, and I personally like Brandon Bell, like the way he came on from Penn State, linebacker for us off the practice squad. I think you have all those guys in those backup reserve spots. I think that will give us some depth at the linebacker position. But Raekwon Smith and Vontaze Burfict, oh my, I think we would shore up our linebacker spot. We can always come back in the second round and go offensive line. I mean, the offensive line is no short. I mean, everybody's not going to draft offensive line, you know, in the first round. So it's definitely going to be some guys who will still be there. We have this 12th overall pick in the draft this year. So, you know, when the second round comes along, I'm sure we'll be in prime position to definitely get some offensive linemen and, you know, add to what we already picked up and hopefully in free agency. So I definitely see this. It has to be a smart draft this year. This year, this will determine how the next 2 years under Marvin Lewis will go. This draft is so crucial, and this free agency process is so crucial. The Bengals are in a great position, Evan, and Bengal fans out there. The Bengals are in a fantastic position. They don't have a huge need. They have the skill position guys there. They just have to acquire a few pieces, and they're not skill positions either. That's the best part. You go out, you draft the linebacker. You pick up an offensive lineman or two in free agency, and you draft maybe two offensive linemen, we're right back squarely in the playoff discussion. I'll debate anybody on that.
We're
in a good position, and we're not even talking about, you know, the Bengals. We're looking at possibly having 2 third-round picks this year because of losing Andrew Whitworth and Kevin Zeitler. So we're looking at having 2 third-round picks. We're looking at having possibly a first or another second-round pick if A.J. McCarron's grievance dispute with the Cincinnati Bengals, if he's being left as a restricted free agent, I could totally see a team like the Arizona Cardinals or the Cleveland Browns, one of those teams, making a trade for him. You know, obviously, if they traded for him, they would give up a second-round pick or however much the Bengals like to tag him for. Maybe a second. I know before they were trying to trade the Cleveland Browns for a second and third-round pick. If he comes back as a restricted free agent, you know, A.J. McCarron gets traded away. We get a second and third-round pick, so that would leave us with 3 third-round picks and 2 second-round picks and a first-round pick. That's more than enough to hold the hump. That's right. As of right now, Evan, that's what the Bengals are facing right now. Right now, what's on the table, if A.J. McCarron's grievance and file comes back for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Bengals slap a second-round and third-round tender on him, whatever team offers him that will be giving up a second round and a third round pick, which will leave the Bengals with 2 second round picks and 3 third round picks, because we're already getting a third round pick back for the players that we lost. So with those picks alone, we're not even talking about the 2 fourth round picks we're going to get for losing Whitworth, or the 5th round pick we're going to get. You know, we're looking at Marvin Jones, for instance, is a guy we drafted in the 5th round out of Cal.
So talent can be found. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is with that draft, with those picks right there alone, I think that puts the Bengals squarely back in playoff discussion, possibly Super Bowl discussion, in my opinion, because we have the team to get it done.
That's what it's all about, man, being able to compete in the postseason. That's what we're worried. That's the goal. The goal is to get to the postseason, and the goal is really to win the Super Bowl. You know, that's the goal. It's time to make that push, man. And the wait is over now.
So hopefully, but it all starts, you know, when, as soon as our season ends, that's when the season starts. And now it's back to the drawing board, getting ready for the draft. You know, knowing who you want to draft, knowing who's going to fit the system, knowing who's going to buy into the team culture, right? And just taking small victories day to day.
Correct.
So
correct. We definitely have to wait and see. But, ladies and gentlemen, this is all the time that we got here live on Inside the Jungle with Malik Wright and Evan Holt, produced by the Right Way Network. You can catch us every single Sunday live on Blog Talk Radio, 5 p.m., discussing all things Cincinnati Bengals. Next week, we're going to dive into some of these draft picks, these draft prospects coming up. And next week, we'll also be talking about free agency more in depth with you guys. Hopefully get some callers in. Be able to talk some more with you guys. Thanks, Joe, again, for calling in from Clifton, New Jersey. We enjoyed speaking with you. But once again, you guys can follow us on Instagram at The Right Way Network. Follow us on Facebook at The Right Way Network. Follow us on Twitter at The Right Way Net. Shoot me an email if you have any questions, anything concerning Cincinnati Bengals, at Malik Wright at TheRightWayNetwork.com. Once again, guys, we're also going to be having our Flight Zone podcast Wednesday night with Jim Rodweller, his co-host Zach Sturr. They'll be talking all things Philadelphia Eagles, getting you guys all geared up for the Super Bowl. And, you know, with that being said, Evan, it's been an awesome debut show with you. I look forward to this amazing journey, man. And like I said, only good things to come. So my Bengals followers out there, who they said they're going to beat them Bengals, and I'll end it with a nobody. Thank you guys again for listening in. And remember, there's only one way, the right way. Have a good night, everybody.
Who they?